I'm Dr. Rod Porter. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and explore some of today's most pressing educational issues through the experienced eyes of leading education personalities. Welcome to Coffeed. This interview brought to you by Soundtrap. Make music and podcast online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. Schools use Soundtrap in their projects to foster deep learning and develop students' creative, collaborative, and communication skills, perfectly suitable for project-based learning. Go to soundtrap.com/edu. Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Charlie Puth. Rhymes with truth, like they said on the Today Show, Charlie, when they interviewed you. But it's going to be exciting to talk with you about, obviously, the impact you're having in music, but more importantly, in schools and education with the VH1 Save the Music Foundation. Before we get to that, Charlie, I want to remind everybody that this interview with Charlie Puth is brought to you by Soundtrap, a Google for Education partner. Make music and podcast online a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. So, Charlie, let's just start with why VH1 and Save the Music? Let's sort of start there. You could have interacted probably with a number of different groups. What was it about what they're doing that made an impact on you?
Well, first of all, I try to, everything that I, join on with, I try and relay it back to, like, you know, how did, if this were around when I was in school, like, how would it have affected me? And I went to Catholic school, and it was a good school, but there wasn't really, like, they never put, like, a lot of money into, like, you know, the music program. They did a weird thing where they stopped music studies in 7th and 8th grade. I don't know, because they thought the kids would be, like, too immature, and I guess it turns out they were right, which is why they stopped doing it. But it was just, like, it was really sad that, like, you know, the one thing, like, you know, that could universally stimulate people's mindset, like music, no matter what it was, it's just the curriculum was always off. And even my mom tried to, offer assistance. And just try, you just have to, it's all about the approach and how you, can make it interesting for the kids. And then when I went to public school, it was very much appreciated. So that was always refreshing to see. So I just, I wish it's more prominent in, like, you know, all the schools around the United States for sure.
You know, and speaking about that, so I want to share a story with you. So my son just turned 4 last week, and he loves your song, One Call Away. And what's interesting at his age, being 4, is that he's starting to want to sing along in the car to songs. And so One Call Away comes on, and he, of course, is a big Superman or any superhero fan. So he's always trying to remember that line. And it just so happened, I said, you know, Daddy's going to talk to... And before I could even say, you know, who you were, he got mad at me and saying, "You're going to talk to Superman?"
I see it on Twitter too. There's, like, a common thing going on, especially with that lyric. It's like, it's simple enough. Like, the melody, number one, it's, like, simple enough where you can, and even when I was writing it, I wanted it to be this way, but, like, you can just grasp onto it right away. That it's in that universal range, where, you know, it's D flat major, it's easy for guys to sing along to, it's easy for girls to sing along to, it's right in the middle. So when you capture both sexes, it's going to be very universal. And with little kids, like, you know, a lyric like, you know, Superman, and the infliction I put on it when I say, like, Superman, like, it's kind of like, has a bit of, like, a scoop on it. So it's a, you know, a recognizable word for little kids. And obviously adults too, I fit in, like, a conversational kind of sentiment. Like, I'm only one call away. I'll always be there for you. So songs like that, should be absolutely be taught, like, in schools.
Yeah, the impact, I mean, that's what I was going to ask you, is that, you know, my son got emotional because he didn't understand. He kept saying, well, I want to talk to Superman too, thinking that he would be on our interview today. But even at that age, you see the impact that music has on mood, behavior, just that sense of belonging. And what was it like for you as a kid before they took it away, like you were saying, which that's an entirely different discussion about the ways in which we sort of peel away opportunities for kids in schools. But speak about just the role music played when you were a little boy growing up and really your confidence.
I mean, there's videos of me. My mom videotapes my whole life, and there's videos of me as a baby in 1992 reacting to Neil Sedaka Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. And the moment it comes on, you know, my face just lights up. It's I seriously believe the reason why that, like, you know, music can alter and change your mood is because it all has to do with the structure behind the record. Obviously, the lyric and the sentiment of the song has a lot to do with it to make you feel emotionally, but you have to be emotionally invested in the song. If you're subconsciously hearing something on the radio, it has everything to do with the chord changes and the melodic structure that's tingling your brain. And it works for non-musicians too. Like, if you hear a jazz record in Pottery Barn, I'm just saying that as an example, you're going to be you might not really even be listening or intending to go into Pottery Barn and say, I want to listen to a jazz record. However, if you walk in there and you're, you know, coming off of, you know, Rodeo Drive, and it's really crazy and there's like cars beeping everywhere, and you just want to go in there for some, you know, peace and quiet, like you're going to be relaxed enough that you might even want to consider buying some furniture. So sonically, music has a profound effect on people and always has.
Let's talk about, the impact or the responsibility maybe that people in your position of success might or might not feel in giving back. How does that hit you when you know that, like, the recipients of the VH1 Save the Music schools and those teachers respond not only to obviously being awarded the Keys Plus Kids grant, but also that they're being connected with someone of your talent that they can recognize? What is that just like for you? Is that comfortable, or is that something that feels like you're still getting, I guess, comfortable with as you continue to grow in your career?
I mean, my career, like what's happened to me this past year, that itself is still, it's getting used to, I'm still getting used to it, the whole fame thing. However, that, which you mentioned before, the first thing you mentioned before about, people being referred to me and me being almost like ambassador-like for that, it's been my goal from day one to inspire kids who might be, you know, music maybe isn't the coolest thing in the world. I don't understand why that's the case in middle school, but, it's, if you're a musician, you're artsy, you're weird if you're artsy. That's what it, that's, you know, if you play sports, you know, nothing wrong with playing sports. I played sports, but, you know, it reaches a broad range of people. And if you're artsy, it's just like you're different and nobody wants to associate with you for some reason. But it depends what kind of school. Like that was the case with the school that I went to. So when I'm involved in VH1 Save the Music, I want kids to look at me and be like, wow, Charlie, you know, he went to school, he did classes, he did math class, he barely passed math class. However, he went home every weekend and worked on producing records and writing rap records and going to see concerts and look at where he is now at 24. It's like, I can do that too. I just want people to look at me and say, I can do that too.
Speaking of that, how much has changed? I mean, I'm older than you are, but I think about what young people, you know, that are in their teenagers or in their early 20s, what you have technologically at your disposal to put out to the masses, your creativity in the way that you did. How does that change the equation? Because when I was growing up and I was in elementary school in the 80s, we didn't have an outlet to be able to sort of put out our creative endeavors in a way that maybe somebody would pick it up, or we would, you know, get connected with Ellen and these sorts of things that happened with your generation.
Right. Well, I guess, and I wasn't around, but I could assume that in the 80s when everything was to tape, and I was born in 91, so things were still being recorded to tape too, but digitally remastered. There was a bit of a partition, where the really good people got to put out demos, and the people who were just mediocre and getting there, like, had to work their way up as a goal to get in the recording studio and be founded by a big record label and a guy behind the desk and a big cigar and to get their music put out. And now it's a bit different in the age of SoundCloud and even all these like apps that, like, I'm starting to lose track of how many music apps there are now. But and now anybody can go on Fruity Loops and make a beat and put it out, and it can even get radio play. I remember in 2007, the first record that I heard on radio, it was an urban station that I heard on radio coming from a MySpace page. That was unheard of. Like, you're supposed to go through a program director, and someone from the label is supposed to pitch it to the program director and he puts it in the slides. Like, this was the first time a DJ had taken something from MySpace. It was called Me and You by Cassie. And I was just like floored by it because it was sonically something so different than what was playing on all the urban stations. I was in Florida at the time, at that time. So and from that on, and then I, you know, Soulja Boy, remember him? I'm just bringing up rappers now. Soulja Boy, made Crank That, and it was a complete sweep of early. It's basically the 2007 version of the Nene, and he did it all himself. So because of, you know, people who were pioneering in that era and with the YouTube, like, more music came out in lower quality, and people's ears started to become more relaxed as to how good the quality had to be. But with that came, you know, and with that still comes, like, you know, the more music doesn't mean better music. Like, you have to, a law of diminishing returns. If you put too much music out, like, you start to not appreciate it as much. So in the 80s, when, you know, not as much music was being put out every second of the day on Hype Machine, there wasn't a Hype Machine back then. You had to wait for the really good stuff. So it's a good and a bad thing, if you understand.
What advice, Charlie, do you have for young people out there that you know, watch you on TV and they listen to you, to your songs and interviews like this, and they think, you know, I'd love to be able to be music, you know, to be sort of the next Charlie in that way? I mean, obviously, there are different layers of talent for people, different ways they can contribute in the arts. But what advice do you have in how they can study and learn what is out there? Because to your point, there's so much out there. It's hard to tell sometimes where the quality is. And that when you find it, you want to really hone in on it if you want to develop certain skills in the arts. What advice do you have for young people?
Well, I would answer that in telling how I did things wrong. For when I was in I did a lot of things right. Like, I managed to build my YouTube channel up in college and I got a lot of subscribers, but all I was doing was covers, because it was easy money. You put it up on YouTube and get, you know, a couple $1,000s a month just from, you know, making money. It was making money off of other people's music by monetizing it and putting ads on it. And I was making money and I was, you know, going out to dinner and having fun, but it wasn't growing me and I wasn't writing my own music. So my advice would be to write your own music, like let the world hear what you have to say, let your voice be heard, because there's not one similar person on this planet. Every single person is unique and might have experienced some things that other people have experienced, but they've experienced them in their own way. And like, they might come up with a really dope lyric that no one would have ever thought of before, just because it's unique to them. So, and to add to that, don't write music that you think the radio will like. Write music that you think you will like. And if you like it and you're confident in it, that will show. And the radio will hear that and be like, wow, this is pretty good.
No, I love that, because I mean, that's, you know, speaks to celebrate your individuality and the creativity that you know, each one of us bring, and that we're all different in that space. So Charlie, are you going to be delivering these pianos to the schools? Like, what's the involvement when they get them in the fall?
I would like to. I think it's a great, I've actually played.
Did I just start something?
Hybrid. Yeah. No, I mean, I have no advisors around me to think, can I actually do this? I've played these pianos before, these Hybrid Casios. They're just fantastic. And, you know, for me, like, how I get inspired to write music is like the actual feeling and touch of a piano, as well as the sound too. If the sound is cool, but the touch doesn't feel right, it's like, I'm like, okay, but if it feels like, if the keys are brand new and crisp and has a really bright tone or a really dark tone, it's like, it can just trigger off so many unused portions of my musical brain. So I'm really excited for these schools to have these pianos, especially because it can do just that. And we might get, you know, another hit song by someone who's kind of budding in that area.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I know I've talked to a few of the winners that will receive, obviously, the pianos in the fall, and they're just ecstatic. Is sort of that's underselling just how excited they are as schools and as teachers and students. So I have to ask you, I'll be that sort of cheesy interviewer to ask you, what are the odds that you would sing that bar about Superman's Got Nothing on Me?
Wait, I heard something. Say it again. It kind of broke up a little bit.
Maybe that's to my advantage then. I said, what are the odds that you would sing that bar, that line of Superman's Got Nothing on Me?
Oh, I mean, probably very high. One Call Away went number one on Hot AC because of the fan. So it's a number one record. So, of course, I'll probably sing that predictably.
You'll do it for us right now?
I could. Superman, I thought, and on me, I'm only one call away. I did it in B flat major there because my voice is still being warmed up for the evening.
I don't want to mess it up for the fans in Indianapolis. I know that's where you're performing tonight, but greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
And so nice to see a thoughtful, you know, a thoughtful young person, and I say that as a compliment, that is giving back to kids in schools in a way that says, look, my life's going pretty well right now and you worked really hard for it, but you are really being thoughtful about the next generation and making sure that they have those connections as well. We want to thank our sponsors at Soundtrap, a Google for Education partner, Make Music and Podcast Online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. You can go to charlieputh.com, check out his tour page. He's going all over the U.S. Maybe I'll catch up with you here in Nashville in October. I see you're at the famous Ryman Auditorium. That should be a great venue.
That's right.
Continued success.
Thank you so much, man. Great talking to you.
This interview brought to you by Soundtrap, Make Music and Podcast Online, a collaborative tool for the modern classroom. Schools use Soundtrap in their projects to foster deep learning and develop students' creative, collaborative, and communication skills, perfectly suitable for project-based learning. Go to soundtrap.com/edu. Join us for our next cup of coffee as we continue to have conversations in education that matter to you. I'm Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Coffee.